This recording, Uruguay 1, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comagat Secure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her heat, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter for the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, the itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling "Coma, Coma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Coma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Coma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe her goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and lay her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that his course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison's a millionaire lawyer thought it was a fair price for a cure. So I was born in Barcelona, Spain, but both my parents are from Uruguay. Born and raised in Montevideo, Uruguay, in South America. So I was born in Barcelona because my parents were on political exile. Well, my father was in political exile. My mom was just, you know, hanging out with my father. And so I went to school there, well, to preschool and kindergarten, and learning to speak Catalan as one of my first languages, I guess. At home we would speak Spanish, but at school we would speak Catalan because, you know, it was a moment of, you know, transition to democracy in Spain. So there was a revival of, you know, Catalan national sentiment, and, you know, the Catalonia had recovered after the Spanish Congress enacted the new constitution. Catalonia recovered the autonomy of the power to, you know, organize schooling the way they wanted. So they actually mandated that Catalan should be taught, but basically all schools should be in Catalan, right? So I began speaking Catalan naturally in school, and I was starting to speak Catalan to my parents, and they got scared and they decided to go back to Uruguay because they didn't want me to speak Catalan anymore. I guess that's what they say. It's not that they went back because didn't want me to speak Catalan, but they didn't like it. They actually had a problem with Catalans. They didn't like how nationalist Catalans were, and they felt kind of discriminated for being, you know, South American immigrants and not, and not actually speaking Catalan. Then I went back to, so then when I was four, I went to Uruguay to live there. And a funny story is that when I started kindergarten there, I had a friend, my best friend was called Pablo Peña, and I became convinced that he was able to fly like Superman, right? So my parents were very scared because they thought that I was going to try to fly, right? So I was going to jump, you know, out of a roof or whatever, and they would try to explain to me that, you know, that people cannot fly, that, you know, Superman is just it's just fantasy, that human beings cannot fly. And I would say, like, I know that human beings cannot fly, but he's using some rockets that he hides behind his, I don't know, cap in order to fly. So I was fully convinced that Pablo Peña was able to fly, not because he was a superhuman, but because he had the rockets that made possible for him to fly. That's it.
Es profunda la noche. Hiela sobre el parque. Árboles muy antiguos que acaban de perder sus hojas parecen suplicar al cielo algo indescifrable pero vital para la vegetación. Un grupo de travestis hace su ronda. Van amparadas por la arboleda. Parecen parte de un mismo organismo, células de un mismo animal. Se mueven así, como si fueran manada. Los clientes pasan en sus automóviles, disminuyen la velocidad al ver al grupo y, entre todas las travestis, eligen a una que llaman con un gesto. La elegida acude al llamado. Así es noche tras noche.